Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now at that time there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can I have you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever desires to be saved will be found.
The Catholic faith is this.
That we worship one God.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father is with the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. Glory to you, majesty, O eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinite, but one uncreated, and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or Lords.
The Father is not made nor created, nor begotten by
the Son. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right of faith that we believe in the Christ that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born of the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one flesh.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by the unity of substance, but by the unity of person.
For as the rational soul in the flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
And his coming, all people will rise again, the demise, and give their accounts for the
those who have done good will enter into eternal life. Those who have done evil will enter into eternal fire.
This is the death of faith. Whoever does not believe in faith will be confirmed, and God is faithful.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. Who is the we here? Well, you've answered that in your confession of the faith today. It is the Holy Trinity in unity, and unity in Trinity. It is the one uncreated, infinite, eternal, almighty God and Lord, who reveals himself in today's gospel to Nicodemus as a divine we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is more than just Jesus using the royal we. It is more than Jesus and his 12 disciples together, most of whom were every bit as clueless as Nicodemus was. It is more even than Jesus and John the Baptist, his forerunner, who both testified that the kingdom and reign of God is at hand. But Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And even so, as most of us know by heart, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Just as the Spirit testifies about Jesus, as we've heard in the past weeks, and takes what is the Father's and delivers it to you, and takes what is the Son's because it is the Father's and delivers it to you. The Holy Trinity is testifying and is bearing witness to you, Nicodemus, that you do not receive his testimony. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them. So we heard last Sunday, so we must hear it again. Every person is by nature, that is by birth, in the state of not receiving, not understanding, not seeing the kingdom and reign of God, therefore not receiving his testimony. The words that immediately precede today's gospel reading are this, that Jesus did not entrust himself to the people, because he knew all people. He knew and needed no one to bear witness about man, because he himself knew what was in man. Christ did not come to be sought out by us. He did not entrust himself to our wisdom or to our deeds. Rather, He came down to us to claim us as his own, to entrust us to himself, as it were, to bestow the very faith which clings to him and thus receives the things of the Spirit of God and sees his Father's reign and kingdom. No one has ascended into heaven, Jesus says. He says this to that great teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, who had no clue what Jesus was talking about. Jesus says, no one reaches up to God. No one seeks him out. Rather, the Lord seeks us. God sends his only begotten Son, the one who descended from heaven. He sends him into our human flesh to be lifted up on the cross, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Holy Trinity comes to save us. That is what makes the Holy Trinity distinct, different from every other man-made God. That is what makes the Catholic religion, as we've just talked about, different from every other man-made religion on earth. This God, the Holy Trinity, is not a God who is far off. He is not a God made by human hands or human minds. He is not distant. He is not like the God of the Stoics and Greeks, an unmoved mover, an eternal ideal, an eternal idea. No. This is a God who is at unity in eternal love for that which is other than. And he is more than that. He is a God who, though complete in his perfect love, is a God who reaches out with that love, outside of himself alone, to embrace his creation, and particularly to embrace his fallen, lost creation, at enmity with him, no less. Our God descends to us, us who by nature cannot and will not ascend to him. That is true of our salvation as Christians. It's also true of our comprehension of this great God. Now, Nicodemus, he was a theologian. He was a teacher of Israel. He's not the kind of person who's turned off by deep thinking. He's not the kind of person who's turned off by complicated words and terms or even abstract concepts. In fact, he had come here at night to have a very erudite, highfalutin conversation with Jesus, rabbi to rabbi. And Jesus doesn't point him to any of those kinds of things. Nothing abstract at all, in fact. He says that the way into God's kingdom, the way to God himself, is not through contemplation. It is not through speculation. We Christians do not muse on the divine. No one ascends. That's what Jesus means. Rather, God descends. He comes down to us. And that is how we can confess what we have just done in the Athanasian Creed. That is how we can confess that the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity neither should have confusion of person nor division of substance. Now, many hate this day. They hate this doctrine. They hate the Trinity. They despise what they think is a very abstract, a very technical, complicated creed and belief. They refuse to accept something so illogical, so paradoxical as the Trinity. And you know, honestly, what could be more paradoxical than to try and comprehend this as a math equation, that 3 = 1? But we must get the Nicodemus treatment too, dear saints. For when we scoff at the incomprehensibility of the Trinity, when we grow frustrated with saying this creed, it is because we are actually trying to ascend into heaven. We want to understand the heavenly things immediately, directly, intuitively, We want to even understand them logically, rather than to receive the earthly things and to believe them. The Holy Trinity was not discovered by man's wisdom. It is not a creation of the church. The Holy Trinity, in fact, continues to elude our reason and our comprehension, even with a creed as detailed as the Athanasian one. And that is because the Holy Trinity is a truth that is given to us by revelation. The Holy Scriptures reveal what is confessed in the Athanasian Creed. We do not say them because they make sense to us. We do not confess them because they are things that we can observe in the world naturally about God. No. We repeat these truths about God because God has revealed himself to us in this way. The Catholic faith, as we just said, is not that we comprehend, not that we discover, not that we explain the Holy Trinity. It is that we believe. It is that we confess. It is that we worship Trinity in unity, unity in Trinity. In other words, we receive the testimony of God about himself. And then we pile them up. We pile up these poetic paradoxes into a responsive creed, even a song, as it is meant to be. And we baffle and we anger the Unitarians, the Muslims, and the atheists, if necessary. Because God has not entrusted himself to our reason and our understanding and comprehension. No, he has entrusted us to himself by his word. We believe his promises and we receive his testimony here on earth about himself. And thus, through this, all of the heavenly things that remain and will remain beyond our understanding and comprehension until the last day, these also are nevertheless ours, even now. So what then is the testimony of God? Where do you find this testimony of the Trinity to receive it? What are these earthly things that we are given to believe in and to trust in, rather than to hopelessly ascend to God through our speculating, our grasping, our achieving, or our comprehending? Well, it is what Jesus says to Nicodemus. Unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, the Holy Trinity comes down and testifies to us in holy baptism. There's only one place in the entire Bible that the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit shows up and is written clearly. And that is in Matthew, in the institution of holy baptism, which we heard in the back of the church today. Do you get it? God puts his divine testimony, his very divine name, into the most earthly of all things, water. And by that water, with his word and his spirit, he testifies something amazing, that we are born again. Born not a second time from our fathers and mothers naturally into sin, but born from above, born into eternal life. He gives us new birth, not into a human name, but into his own name, his divine name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this, he reveals to each of us himself fully to be believed. He brings all of the winnings of Jesus Christ and his cross, and he marks us with them. And he brings us into his truth and entrusts us into his life. You are now worthy of your name, Renata, because your name means reborn. And so you are today. You are born again from above, bearing God's triune name, Father, Son, and Spirit. You have received the testimony of that Holy Trinity together with us who are welcomed into the worship of this one true God. You have received the earthly things that defy our sight and reason, but bestow the irrevocable promise of God. And thus all of the great and heavenly things of God, though they are mysterious, unsearchable, inscrutable, nevertheless are yours as well. The one whom no man can comprehend has comprehended you. And what is yours, because you are his. You are no longer the natural man you once were. You are Renata, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.